Hello, this is Wesley J. Smith, Senior Fellow in Human Rights and Bioethics at the Discovery Institute, and you're listening to What It Means to Be Human. Rights, generally stated, are moral entitlements embodied in law to protect all people. Rights are not earned, they come with the package of being a member of the human race. This principle was most eloquently and succinctly enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, and its assertion of the self-evident truth that we are all created equal and therefore are each endowed with inalienable rights, including to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For hundreds of years, implementing Jefferson's timeless assertion of the unique importance of man, a concept sometimes called human exceptionalism, into universal acceptance and application, was the noble goal of Western civilization. Toward this end, invidious bigotry has been repeatedly and courageously assailed, and one by one, religious persecution, slavery, Jim Crow, exclusive male suffrage, etc., have either collapsed altogether or been materially weakened on their way toward hoped for and unlamented extinction. But then, as we finally approached the point of triumph, many among the intellectual elite veered sharply away from human exceptionalism and began to deny the unique moral worth and importance of humankind. Thus, in bioethics, advocates such as Joseph Fletcher, who also gave us situational ethics or relativism, and Peter Singer, the world's foremost proponent of infanticide, asserted that being human alone does not convey moral worth, but rather to warrant full protection, an individual must exhibit minimum cognitive capacities, with those not measuring up denigrated as so-called human non-persons who lack the rights of life and bodily integrity. As the bioethics movement dehumanized the most weak and vulnerable among us, the animal rights movement agitated against distinctly human rights altogether, arguing that animals have the same fundamental value as people, since both can experience pain. That makes us moral equals, or as the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals Ingrid Newkirk once said, a rat is a pig is a dog is a boy. Such moral relativism leads to outrages such as PETA's infamous pro-vegan campaign of a few years ago, Holocaust on Your Plate, which asserted, quote, "The leather sofa and handbag are the modern equivalent of the lampshades made from the skins of the people killed in the death camps," close quote. Now even these dangerous and radical anti-human exceptionalism agendas have been overtaken by a new extreme environmentalism that seeks to, and this is not a parody, grant equal rights to nature. Yes, nature, literally and explicitly. Worse, nature rights have just been embodied as the highest law of the land in Ecuador's newly ratified constitution, pushed by President Rafael Correa, the hard leftist acolyte of Venezuela's leader Hugo Chavez. An American extremist environmental group called the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund provided the inspiration for granting rights to nature. According to a CELDF press release celebrating the Ecuador vote, the idea behind nature rights is to, quote, "change the status of ecosystems from being regarded as property under the law to being recognized as rights-bearing entities," close quote. Toward this end, the Ecuador Constitution now reads, quote, "Persons and people have the fundamental rights guaranteed in this Constitution and in the international human rights instruments. Nature is subject to those rights given by this Constitution and law," close quote. What does this co-equal legal status between humans and nature mean? Article 1 states, quote, "Nature or Pachamama, where life is reproduced and exists, has the right to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate its vital cycles, structure, function, and its processes in evolution," close quote. The Constitution also empowered any radical environmental organization anywhere in the world to travel to Ecuador and legally enforce nature's fundamental rights. Article 1 continues, quote, "Every person, people, community, or nationality will be able to demand the recognition of rights before the public bodies," close quote. This goes way beyond establishing strict environmental protections as a human duty. Rather, it is a stunning self-demotion of humankind to merely one among the billions of life forms on Earth, no more worthy of protection than any other aspect of the natural world. Think about the astonishing scope of the new nature rights. Viruses are part of nature. So too are bacteria, pond scum, insects, snakes, trees, weeds, and snails. These and the rest of Ecuador's flora and fauna will now have the constitutionally and legally enforceable right to exist, persist, and regenerate their vital cycles. This is so wildly beyond anything we have seen before that the ultimate impact is incalculable. But the potential harm to human welfare seems virtually unlimited. Take, for example, a farmer who wishes to drain a swamp to create more tillable land so as to better support his family. Now the swamp has co-equal rights with the farmer, as do mosquitoes, snakes, algae, rats, spiders, trees. Well, you get the picture. And since draining the swamp would unquestionably destroy nature and prevent it from existing and persisting, one could conceive of the farmer, or for that matter in other circumstances, miners, loggers, fishermen, or other users and developers of resources, not only prevented from earning their livelihoods, but perhaps even accused of oppressing nature. A breathtaking concept. Moreover, if the government failed to protect the rights of the swamp, the Constitution explicitly allows alien radicals like the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund to descend on Ecuador and sue to thwart the desires of the farmer and prevent him from deciding what to do with his own land. Indeed, if land can still actually be owned. The mind simply boggles. Establishing nature rights is the culmination of 2008 as one of the most radical anti-human exceptionalism years in recent history. Do we need any further proof that the international left is determined to devalue humankind in law and ethics? Indeed, take a moment and contemplate what happened just this year. The socialists and greens in Spain are on the verge of granting the rights to life, liberty, and freedom from torture to great apes and devolve humans into a community of equals with chimpanzees and gorillas. The European Court of Human Rights recently accepted a case out of Austria appealing a ruling that had refused to declare chimpanzees to be legal persons. Switzerland has legally established the intrinsic dignity of individual plants in its constitution based on the many similarities plants share with us at the molecular and cellular levels. And don't expect the mainstream media to sound the alarm about the forces seeking to tear down the unique moral status of human life. A New York Times environmental blogger seemed at most bemused about what is happening in Ecuador. Meanwhile, the woolly-headed Los Angeles Times blandly editorialized that Ecuador's proposal to make nature the moral equals of people is intriguing. Some might say that Ecuador is a small country, not worth so much concern. Perhaps. But the concept of nature possessing rights seems to be spreading. The CELDF, which was only founded in 1995, brags that it is fielding calls from South Africa, Italy, Australia, and Nepal, the latter of which is crafting its own leftist constitution. Others might say that worrying about nature rights should take a back seat to less abstract concerns such as the financial crisis and the war on terror. But consider this. The central importance of human life is the fundamental insight undergirding Western civilization. This tenet is now under energetic and increasing attack. If it succeeds, the real worry won't be nature gaining rights, but human beings losing them. This is Wesley J. Smith, and that's my opinion. Thanks for listening to Brave New Bioethics.